All right, it's 503-535-9100 or 1-877-535-9100. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. Are you allowed to email today? I bet you by golly, by wow, you can do it at rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Later on, Scott Daly from filmfever.org is going to be here. We're going to talk about the new movie Saints and Soldiers, which opens today. We've got the Jolie from Corporate Accounts Payable is going to be in as well. And a bunch of other things. In the name of sweet holy God. All right. Let's work. And I've got the... I hold in my hands the official biographical information.
Yeah, it's all garbage.
Is this all fabricated?
Yeah, it's all lies.
This is like when I say
it's like anyone else's resume. It's like full of half truths.
It's like when I say that I was worshipped as a god by a tribe of Peruvians or something. I'm going to read this right off the page here so I don't screw it up somehow. Before taking over as co-host of The Man Show on Comedy Central,
which sucked, I'll put in the parts that aren't printed.
His stand-up has been featured on several television shows, including Comedy Central Presents.
But it was overly censored and not so funny on TV.
Doug, you're apparently the word on the street. The kids say that you're one of the top 10 comics to watch.
That was Variety and Hollywood Reporter, who probably have never seen my act and just took good word or owed my manager a favor.
Oh, and it was 3 years ago, so. Maybe it's no longer accurate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's welcome Doug Stanhope to the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, how are you? Tonight.
How are you, sir? It's gone fantastic already. I can just feel that vibe in the air.
Yeah.
All right. First of all, get this out of the way so people know you're going to be at Dante's tonight.
Dante's at 8:30.
Yeah. And I'll tell you this just straight up, that we don't ever have comics on the show. We never, just because you know this, because they're all terrible.
Yeah, well, it's because you have the worst comedy club in the country here. That's why I play Dante's. I'd rather make less money and just play for people who, the disgruntled youth that have grown up.
Let me tell you, the last time we had a comic on the show, and we only did it to screw with him, although he still doesn't know that, we had Carrot Top on because he blew us off like three different times. He blew off the gig twice. There's actually other stations in this building that will no longer even let him on, but we let him on over the phone. We do this thing sometimes where we'll bring on a guest on the phone, and then we've got to work a bunch of phrases into the conversation.
All right. Like
we have a little on-show bet about it.
All right.
And so I had to work in some phrase about being slowly massaged with a tub of margarine or something. So it's all this crap I had to work into the phone conversation with him, and it was like... It was just like talking to a brick wall. There was like a whole lot of nothing there. So, but Brad.
Oh, yeah, he's not the kind of act that really is known for what he says.
Not a lot of flexibility there.
Yeah.
But anyway, our friend Brad, the car guy, though, was talking to Sarah and I, and he was just going on and on about you, and he was just raving about how great you are. So you have to be funny. You have to back it up tonight, or we're going to beat him to death with sticks.
Oh, tonight, sure. I'll back up anything. Anything I would say here would just get you fired and have the stormtroopers busting through the windows.
That's a knife edge that I live on every day, my friend. So you, now, is it, it doesn't say this here, but is it true you host the Girls Gone Wild thing?
Yeah, I did one tape, but it's the one that they push. Like, I went out and did it for a week as a goof, but now it's like a year and a half later. Well, yeah, it was a...
Well, it had nothing to do with the boobs or anything. It was all just...
Come on, you're near my age.
Maybe.
At some point, after years of internet porn, just a girl flashing, you might as well, just lift your burka at that point. What's the difference?
What's
this bleeding sodomy? is that a questionable one on the dump button?
Yeah, we're leaning.
We were thinking about it.
We're leaning towards the edge of the. Well, what is it? How does that work? Did they just? Were you the guy with the microphone that goes out?
Lift your top for me. Yeah, my only job was to be goof on him and try to make it funny and. That's what I did.
So they get those good. Now, do they get them to sign releases before or after?
They do video release.
And is that
to prove they're sober enough?
Is that before they film it or after they film it?
After.
And so they get them on camera. So basically, you film all the girls, and then you just probably take the hot ones.
That's never a problem. Getting releases. These girls are such desperate egos that need to justify themselves. But when a girl's gone wild, and like that's a big deal to them. You have a line around the block.
Will someone please validate me? Please?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they want to do that giggly, shy, you have to talk me into it.
I don't do this for every guy with a camera, I promise.
Yeah. You got to talk me into it.
Can I have my hat
you really
now?
Want me to do it? Oh, my God. My parents? What if my parents saw this? Oh, this hey, I'll only do it if Jill does it. Jill, are you going to do it? I'm not going to. Then get off the bus. You know why you're on the bus. There's only one reason to be on a bus that says Girls Gone Wild on the side. Hey, what, do you want to look at the upholstery?
Well, this is a nice bus.
The guy who started the Girls Gone Wild thing, who I understand you're best friends with, I understand he's your favorite person in the whole world, that you are bosom pals. Is that true?
That guy is the biggest douchewort I've ever met in my life, and I've met some of the seediest people in the world.
It's hard to believe that about the Girls Gone Wild founder.
Yeah,
he would be seedy or sleazy in any fashion.
Yeah, no. I've hung out with pornographers that made, were Hugh Hefner compared to that guy.
So this is, what is it? Just a sleazy company? Or is it the guy personally?
No, it's the guy personally.
What is this? What's
like those date rapist fraternity guys who, think it.
Like a Scott Peterson type.
Like, it was the first time in my career where I actually felt, at some point this is degrading to women because of the way you treat them. Not the Girls Gone Wild, you showed your cans on TV, whatever. But, the way he treated women, people in general, he'd fire, the lowest guy on the, crew chain, just to show that he can fire someone. And he'd abuse chicks and then laugh with you about it. Oh, did you see what I did?
I made her cry.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's have a beer.
She's crying right now. You're a goofy, stupid, the emptiest soul I've ever seen on this planet.
It's good that you're not bitter about it or anything.
Oh, no, I just am glad I can say it now. No longer waiting for a check to clear.
We're talking with comedian Doug Stanhope. He's going to be at the Dante's tonight, right? Tonight at 8:30?
Yeah.
And with our friend Lonnie Bruin is going to be opening for him as well.
Oh, you know Lonnie?
It's kind of friend of a friend. He's he works with a guy that... with a guy that we're good friends with.
Yeah, no one can really be friends with a cripple, but...
Is he a cripple?
He's got one of those.
I'm sorry, is he differently abled?
Yeah,
Greg's a leg.
Yeah, cerebral palsy.
He's always a cousin Jerry.
Yeah.
From Facts of Life.
Yeah.
You remember cousin Jerry Jewell from...
She's on Deadwood now.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And they were, in fact, they were just talking about... Who was just talking about that yesterday with that creepy... She goes, I'm knocked up! I mean, like the creepiest thing you've ever heard in your life. Cousin Jerry. Can I ask how old you are?
38 today.
Yeah, I'm 30, so we're the same age. But Cousin Jerry is one of those... I'm so glad that she's on Deadwood now because she's one of my pop culture references that was starting to fade in value... Because
you get nobody remembered Jerry Jewell.
Well, you get like Kyle over there. Kyle's 21. Sarah is 23.
24.
24?
Yeah.
You still look like 23, baby.
Oh, thanks.
She's 24. And it's like, it's like I'll make like a Freedom Rock joke or something. And it's right over the heads. I'll make a Young Frankenstein. Totally. Hands across America. Ha, ha, ha.
You know who you look like, by the way, speaking of dated references, is Steve Landisberg from Barney Miller.
Right. Steve Landisberg. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Like, I need like the bad woven tie and the sport coat with patches on it. See, they got
you have the same glasses and hair.
Yeah, I could see that. I usually get them. I get Richard Belzer. Sometimes, like a young, pre-creepy Richard
Belzer. I
don't
think that guy was ever not creepy.
Before he just became locked in the black trench coat thing there. But all right, so people go to Dante's tonight to see you. What type? I mean, I hate to ask comics to boil it all down because it's like asking a band, who do you sound like? Because nobody wants summarize that. But
it's the kind of stuff that works well at a place like Dante's. With the
disgruntled
people of the world,
addicted clientele.
Yeah, just the angry people.
And so if you,
the ones that would have been school shooters but couldn't afford bullets,
school bludgeoners. So a better way to do it, because it's like and you can see this when you talk to like
it's hardcore true smut mixed with violent libertarianism and.
I find that just like with a band, it's better than asking them to summarize it. I always ask a band, who are your influences, who you look up to, who got you started. So with comics, I usually do the same thing. Looking back, who is it that really inspired you? It doesn't even have to be other comics.
But yeah, but the guys that inspired me would not be people that would be indicative of who I am today. Like when I Dice was the guy that made me want to do comedy, but that's when I was 23, and that was really hilarious. It hadn't lost its...
J. Wendell Walker?
So again, but that wouldn't be indicative of my show.
So it's just so they should just go. It's vile and profane.
If you're easily offended, or you have a friend that's easily offended, bring them
because they're fun to watch.
Yeah,
bring someone you dislike intensely. So this is the Man Show for you was how long were you the host of the Man Show?
Just for a season.
Because it was during that. What in broadcasting they call a transitional phase,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it was transitioning right into the toilet.
Transitioning to nowhere.
Yeah.
And so you kind of were there just as it was sort of going off into the horizon?
Yeah,
or?
They when Jimmy and Adam left, they didn't own the show, so the production company thought they could keep milking the pig and throw it to
so you were like the coy advance.
Exactly.
You were like those guys on Dukes of Hazzard. Yeah. And the blonde guy and somebody in plaid. Just put him in the car.
And so really, the only reason that show worked at all is because of who those guys were. It wasn't...
Yeah.
Wasn't,
right.
It was completely personality-driven, and our comedy is nothing like theirs. We're not... Yeah.
Well, especially even though that's cable, there's probably a lot of restrictions. Because we talk about that all the time. About on cable TV, you can get along with a lot of things you can't, you know, you say on the
yeah,
on
but,
the,
not
but
the
even
stuff
on
that, yeah,
Comedy Central yeah, goes.
But yeah, anything that and lawyers screwed up as much stuff as censors did. It's not just censorship. Isn't just about you know these dirty words. It's I mean you can't talk about drugs unless it's negative, which we're very pro drug and
excellent.
And, like a suicide, I couldn't do a suicide bit that was pro-suicide because what if someone kills themselves, they can sue us. And
can't deliver beer to the homeless because they're alcoholics and they might bite you. Or
these were actual notes. We had a, but yeah.
In fact, I don't even know if I have the, let me just read, this is from the bio here. Let's see. We've got Stanhope's third live CD, Die Laughing, released in March of 2002, takes stabs at everything from abortion to school shootings to Jesus. And then it says you balance it with autobiographical stories about drugs, prostitution, and tales of a life from a road less traveled. And so do you have to modify your thing from city to city?
No, when it's live, that's the only true freedom of speech left in this country. If it's live, you get whatever I'm selling.
All right.
You start playing that pandering to the audience game, and you wind up an old hack at Harvey's playing for people with coupons.
Now, is that
coupon clippers?
Are you like a
really
lot of
won something?
Are you like a lot of comics? Or are you trying to do this to get like a production deal, sitcom, movie, whatever?
I really am done with television unless it's something that I don't have to work hard at. It's or as comedy anyway. It's like it's so ridiculously homogenized and dull and. Spineless. It's empty. I'm radio probably next. Satellite radio.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say the radio until they get going another year before they get their hands on that.
Yeah, I don't need much money.
because every time the comedy, same thing. Every time a comic gets the sitcom, well, you probably know this. Every time you get the sitcom, be it Kinison or Carlin or George Lopez or any of those guys, and they get their teeth just yanked right out, it all becomes terrible.
But then you get addicted to that money, and you can't leave. Rogan is a phenomenal, brilliant stand-up. No one knows he does stand-up, because the stand-up he does will never be on television.
Right.
But he's got that, you know, 50 grand an episode Jones. I'd rather make 20 grand a year and be able to be uncensored on satellite.
The best example of that I ever saw was
that number out.
Was
25.
Yeah, that's what they'll offer. Go ahead, sorry.
Well, no. The best example I saw that was Bob Saget, who was a guy that I just had contempt for forever because I saw him on television.
Yeah.
So the guy I had this unfettered loathing for. And I used to get these people like, you got to see his stand-up. He's really great. And I always view that as like when a band sucks on CD, they're like, no, dude, you got to see him live. And I'm like, yeah live, schmive.
Yeah,
whatever. But then I saw the guy was like on Showtime or HBO or something. He was doing some stand-up, and it was hilarious.
Yeah.
And you realize that that's the thing, man. It's like you get, it's like Willie Loman says in Death of a Salesman. He's like, they give you 50 grand a month until you need 50 grand a month.
Exactly.
And it's like you're there for the rest of your life. So
almost everybody listening right now doesn't need to work as hard as they do. You just, you know, once you get addicted to buying garbage,
flat screen TV.
Yeah, well, we need that. You know, you'll always spend as much as you make and think you need more.
So, if people get your CDs at your website, we always said DougStanhope.com.
DougStanhope.com. You can sign the mailing list so you know when I'm at Dante's because it's not like it's making the front page of the paper.
So
the new DVDs in Best Buy and box stores.
What's it called?
Deadbeat Hero.
Deadbeat Hero.
Last-minute title because it was going in box stores. They wouldn't let me keep the original title of Before Turning the Gun on Himself. They thought the suicide theme was too dark for the box stores.
Sensing a little bit of a trend. The website is DougStanhope.com, DougStanhope, DougStanhope.com, and tickets at the door, I would imagine. And,
yeah, but get there early. It'll definitely sell out. I think it's 8:30 show, but I think doors open 7:30 or 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doug Stanhope tonight, Dante's 8:30 p.m.
It'll be dirty and weird. You'll feel alive for the first time this week.
First time in your miserable
Even
life.
Even if you hate it.
With the opening act, Lonnie Bruin. And is it your birthday?
And Andy Andrus.
Yeah, and Andy Andrus.
Yeah, it's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
And Christine Levine.
And Christine Levine.
It's a cavalcade of whimsy tonight. It's a cavalcade of comedy.
Yeah.
All right. Doug, stand up tonight.
Bring a loaded weapon.
Burnside. Don't go any back after this. Thank you. Appreciate it. Have a good show tonight.
Thank you very much.
DougStanhope.com is the website. He's at Dante's tonight at 8:30. You stay there. Back after this is the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.
Outside Portland, it's 1-877-535-9100.
Oh, sorry. Let me just do it. There you go. 503-535-9100 or 1-877-535-9100. Did it sound like I knew what I was talking about during that interview? Did I sound like I had any clue who I was interviewing?
It went well.
All right. 503-535-9100. You can also email if you like. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick, do yourself a favor and go see Doug at Dante's tonight. He is hilarious. If you like, I have some CDs I can I hope Doug's still listening. If you like, I have some CDs I can illegally burn for you.
It's from Jesse. There you go.
I can always respect somebody who can control themselves enough to not have to use the dump button.
Not have to hit the delay button several times.
That's a professional.
By the way, we'd like to thank Kyle's girlfriend, Megan.
Thank you, Megan.
Long a bunch. You know, because I'm a fallen Catholic and because I don't have children, I completely forget when holidays roll around. And so I didn't even realize that this was Easter weekend. So Megan has given me it appears to be some sort of a Pez dispenser shaped like a sheep. So, it's a sheep, or it's a cow, or it's a cow that, I believe it is a cow that, in the eloquent words of Kyle, sort of poops out some Pez.
Oh, I got a donkey.
It excretes some Pez that you then ingest, and it's a basket full of little yellow things. By the way, somebody did send me a create-your-own Pete's. Link today. There's apparently some machine you can buy. You can manufacture your own peep candy in your house if that's a thing you feel like you need to do. All right. It's 503-535-9100. Here is what is coming up later on in the show. We have the top five. We get a chance to get to that. We've got some stuff to give away as well. And in fact, let me make sure that I have the sheet in front of me so I do it correctly. I'm just so disorganized. Today is just, this whole week has gone really well. And then today the disorganization sets in, and then the whores come in. Ah, I've lost it. Where the hell did I put my giveaway sheet? That really is the burning question of the day for this thing. Oh, here we go. And this is actually very cool. Now, we're all heathens and apostates here, but we do have this to give away for Easter, and it's at Jake's Catering in the Heritage Ballroom at the Governor Hotel. It's an Easter brunch buffet. Now, it's brunch for four. It is brunch for four, courtesy of Jake's Catering in the Heritage Ballroom at the Governor Hotel. Now, don't call yet. We're not going to give it away quite yet. We will do it later on, probably sometime in the first half of the 11 o'clock hour. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from FilmFever.org. friend Scott Daly. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well.
What is with people's compulsion for turning on the microphone and then wobbling it all around and adjusting it?
I'm not the radio professional, but you are.
And Jen. Jen is the worst.
Somebody's being a little picky today.
And some people are not the professional radio folks that you are, Mr. Emerson.
I'm just saying.
I've been only doing this for about a year now and not 14 or
30. Just open mouth cough into the microphone, Scott, and you'll be fine.
That's...
Excuse me.
Okay, there's no need. Why you got to be like that? Why is it got to be that way, huh?
I'm respecting
the
producer's
wishes. Take it to the mattresses like that.
A true Easter story. Best friend of mine, he had a little Italian greyhound.
Way to defocus. Way to defocus.
He had a little Italian greyhound named Jesus. Jesus was the best little dog in the world. He got hit by a car and died 3 days before Easter.
That dog's name was Jesus Christ.
I kid you, 3 days before Easter, he died. So on Easter,
I mean to laugh at a dog.
No, it's sad. But on the day of, that Easter Sunday following his death, we stood out and were expecting him to come home, but he never did.
But that didn't happen.
No.
Came home followed by child Gage, who then cut Fred Gwynn's Achilles tendon with a knife.
This year, I always think of my friend's little dog, Jesus. He was a great, great little dog. He hated commies, too. He'd say commies, and he could freak out. It was pretty funny.
Okay.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
You sure?
It's been one of those weeks. I'm really not. I'm really not.
This week was better than last week.
No, this week was fantastic. I'm not teetering on the brink of mental collapse like I was last week. And Doug Stanhope was pretty funny, but I'm never in my element when I'm interviewing comics. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Interviewing comics. And this has
well, you guys are two front men. I mean...
That's what I mean. It has nothing to do with this guy. He was funny. Everybody assures me he's a Storm. I know he's a big fan of his. Has nothing to do with him. But the same thing with... I'm sorry, Doug, to have to do this, but it was like Carrot Top in that... It's all about timing, and interviewing a comic is always a little tricky because it's two guys who are both used to being the guy who sort of is in charge of the microphone. And so it's a bit like this kind of a boxing match where you're having a little synchronized because you're both kind of trying to punch at the same time. So it can be a little difficult.
Yes.
Now, coming up later on the show,
yes,
we're going to talk about Saints and Soldiers, which opens today, which is sort of a Saving Private Ryan type film. I mean, I hate to compare films to other films.
No, it's not a Saving Private Ryan film. It's more of a World War II film that's at kind of a slower pace than a Private Ryan or any of those general World War II films we're all familiar with.
But it was created by a film company out of Utah, but I know that there's some Portland connections
there
as well.
There is a Portland connection to the film, yes. One of the actors in the film's name is Peter Holden, who is from Portland, is in the film, a very prominent role in the film, and he'll actually be here in the studio today.
And so we'll talk about it. It's getting some great positive reviews.
It's a very well-done, very low-budget, independent film, but I got to tell you, watching the film, you don't get that low-budget feeling, you don't get that independent film feeling. It's very well done.
So we'll talk about that later on, yeah. And I know there's a bunch of other stuff coming out. What else in the way of film do you have today?
As far as film reviews, Saints and Soldiers is really about it. The only film that really opens this week, well, there's two. There's that Bernie Mac Action Future film, Guess Who, which I didn't see.
Yeah,
and my good friend who writes for us, Brett, took one for the team and actually saw Miss Congeniality 2 this week.
Armed and Fabulous?
Yeah.
Yes.
I can't bring myself to watching it.
You know, doesn't it seem like you're abusing your powers as a film critic if you decide to only see the good films?
I said, okay, Brett, here's what's coming up this week. Which one do you want? I gave him the choice. He picked it, so... I'm not abusing any power.
All right. Okay, so you didn't force him to do it.
No, I didn't, and I've got my film, Saves the Soldiers, right here. So.
What was that movie that you were sitting in a while back, and then you actually, 5 minutes before screen time, you just got up and walked out because you decided you didn't want to see it?
I would rather be home with my son, yes.
Isn't it Anaconda or something? Or?
It was Anacondas, yes.
Anacondas. And you're sitting there, and you've driven, I mean, and you live in, like, you know,
I live in St. Helens.
You live in Spain or something. Yeah. And so you had to drive all the way.
Well,
she's
no, because I work
here
in Portland, so I just go from my office to the theater, which is a nice little jaunt across the river.
So from now on, I'll only review fantastic films.
No. It's hard, Rick. I mean, if I did this professionally, I'd see every single film in the world. But I do have a day job. I have a family. And so it's really, I've got to really balance my time.
All right.
Because I want to give as much as I can to this show. You know, but I've got family commitments. I'm dealing with my son. And we just got a new dog this week, too. So lots of happening going on at the Dolly House.
Yeah, I know. I'm no one to talk. I came in today and I got this black shirt all covered in little white dog hairs. It's embarrassing. One of those things. Well, no. It's the thing where I swear to God, we'll get back to movie stuff in a second. Because we're going to talk about something that came up earlier this week with Sarah and Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll get to that in just a second. And it does have kind of a film connection. And we will do... making a scene here in just a few minutes, too, actually. Because there was that guy who was going to do Gollum and Smeagol.
Yeah.
We do this this feature occasionally called Making a Scene, in which we ask you to call up and act out either one whole scene or a large part of a scene yourself without any written aid. And what we've got here, we've got an Easter brunch buffet in the Heritage Ballroom at the Governor Hotel, courtesy of Jake's Catering. It's Easter brunch buffet for four. It happens Sunday, March 27th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., featuring cold seafood display, waffles, omelets, Oregon ham, and prime rib carving stations, desserts, and much more. Jake's Catering, the Easter brunch buffet at the Heritage Ballroom at the Governor Hotel. So if you get on the air with Making a Scene today, we'll get you hooked up with this with the brunch for four. So we'll try to do that later on.
I also brought with me some more Sin City Jessica album mini posters that we can
Sarah can never get enough of those. Sarah was just remarking the other day that she wishes that there weren't just four of those hanging up in her studio.
I want 16.
Hey, I brought at least 25,
oh,
Sarah,
thank
so you
God,
put more
Scott.
Out for you.
Our stash was getting a little diminished.
Well, because if you take, I mean, we should photograph Sarah, the room that Sarah works in there, because I'm looking left to right here. There's a scantily clad Olsen twins cutout. There's Lindsay Lohan in a tight white tank top.
With a milk mustache.
There's a big, gigantic blow-up of Michael Jackson's leper-like, decaying, rotting hands.
I always flip that over.
There's a thing of Storm Large. There are four copies of the Jessica Alba Sin City poster tacked up right next to each other.
There's like the Muddy River Nightmare Band and the Altar Boys.
But don't forget the Fangirls calendar,
too. And then the Fangirls calendar, too.
And then how to make drinks. There's a drink concoction map in here.
So Sarah's surrounded by all manner of whatever. So we're trying to get... And then you go back to our prep area, and Matt's got the Jessica Alba thing and some beer hoe. Gigantic, like 9 foot square calendar of some sassy Latin lover with her cakes falling out of her shirt. So Sarah's just sort of awash in cleavage day.
Yeah, but you've seen my desk. All I'm surrounded by is like
Jake Gyllenhaal.
New Kids on the Block buttons. Yeah, and Jake Gyllenhaal.
Seriously.
And that old picture of you.
Oh, that's the best picture.
Me when I look like a Romanian dictator.
We giggled for hours over that.
You should put that on your website, Ray. That's the best picture.
Oh man, he autographed it for me.
I've got enough.
Awesome.
And he put a special message on it.
Oh, I've got enough embarrassing.
Don't change.
Don't go changing.
All right, let me read a couple of these, and then we'll talk about the. Yes. Oh, by the way, thank you. You're listening to KOTK Vancouver Salem Caseland. No. The hell are you listening to? KOTK Vancouver Portland.
There you go.
Caseland Salem, an intercom station. The show was really good until about 10:15 today, and then the half life of this show seems to be 76 minutes. Today. We'll read a couple of these, and then we'll talk about Sarah and Kyle, because there was this thing that happened in the space of about 24 hours, about a week ago. We didn't get a chance to talk about it before, because, as you know, one of the big things that recurs on this program is a discussion of films that there really is no excuse for not owning.
Of course.
And within the space of 24 hours, Sarah revealed that she fell asleep watching Die Hard, which would be more acceptable had she ever seen it in the first place, which she has not.
Damn you, Sarah Dillon.
And so she's sitting there watching Die Hard, and it was at your place or is it his place?
At my place.
At your place. So it's all, the volume is all cranked up and whatnot, sitting there settling in, watching the finest action film ever made, you know, and Mr. Cowboy. And then there she is, and she said the last thing she remembered was some sort of gunfire or... No, the last thing she remembered
was... No, the guy's head getting blown off.
Was Hans Gruber saying, Mr. Takagi. And then...
You didn't even get to the best part.
Didn't even get to...
But now I have a machine gun.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho.
Didn't get to...
Sarah.
Didn't get to that.
Kill me.
Didn't get to, should have heard your brother squeal when I broke his friggin' neck. You didn't get to
that. Oh, that's horrible.
Didn't get to any of that. So she's never seen Die Hard. Her boyfriend finally does the right thing. As they used to say in the 50s, her boyfriend does right by her and puts Die Hard in on DVD
Good
or
man.
VHS?
DVD.
DVD.
Oh.
5.1, the Dolby, the remaster. Oh. They go to watch it. Falls asleep.
Actually, I fell asleep twice.
Twice.
I tried to watch it again, and I fell asleep.
Sarah, you owe him.
Wait, on a second day?
Well, yeah, except I didn't get any further. I actually fell asleep earlier than the part before.
The second day, how far did you get into it?
Actually, even less than I did the first time.
Okay. And the quarterback is toast.
But I'm going to watch it.
No, you're not.
I have all my TiVo Lifetime movies. I'm sorry. I was looking. Wait, he didn't come home last night.
You can make time. You can make time for some Candace Bergen film in Lifetime.
That was Judith Light, okay?
Not for one of the greatest films of the last 30 years, though.
And the best Christmas film ever made.
Seriously, it is fantastic.
But it's all explodey. I mean, there's no crying and murder. Like,
it's
murder.
Explodey. It's explodey.
Explodey.
All right. No, but then not to be outdone. Not to be outdone.
Oh, no. I didn't even know what I did.
Might
even
pissed at Kyle for this one, Not too. To be outdone, the next day, and I can't even remember how it came up. I can't even remember how the discussion came up. Oh, it's because Animal House was on AMC, was on American Movie Classics. And Tim was, you know, Animal House, a film classic, 30 years old, comes on tonight. And I was like, and I started quoting Animal House lines, and Kyle got that sort of blank, like the Homer Simpson slow blink look on his face. And then Kyle revealed that he's never seen Animal House.
I can't believe that, Kyle.
And Kyle is a 21-year-old, you know, white, suburban, beer-guzzling, bong-hitting male.
Animal House was made for you, Kyle.
So yeah. In the space of 24 hours, we have the greatest action film of all time, shunned by Sarah Dillon, and the greatest, I mean, I don't know what you want to call it, the greatest teen comedy, the greatest sex comedy, whatever you want to refer to it.
The greatest college comedy.
The greatest college comedy of all time, never having been seen by Kyle.
You know, Rick, if we were a wacky morning show, we should punish them somehow.
Well, I know, but I don't, we've already done the pee-peeing. I'm not really sure what else we could possibly do.
This is awful.
So what? Here's what I want to do. I'm going to make this an ongoing segment. And we'll do like 5 minutes on this each time that you are with us. And the segment is going to be films you cannot be a good American without owning and or knowing. That's what we're going to do.
I like it.
First among the list is Die Hard. Second among the list is Animal House. Third on the list, and we'll raise your hands, third on the list would be Jaws. Have either of you seen Jaws all the way through? The original. Not in 3D.
Look at the blank stares on their face.
The blank stares.
No, never seen it. Never seen it.
Never seen Jaws.
It's about a big shark.
I've seen the shark.
You know, and
yeah, me too. The blood, the chunks of flesh floating around.
We're
going
to need a bigger boat. That whole thing.
I don't know anything about that.
Here's the swimming with bow-legged women.
Quint. Come on, Quint.
Nothing? I was a lot younger than Mr. Hooper here anyway. See, that's it's shameful. That guy called up last week and he did the making a scene where he did the, chug like this, swallow your whole.
That was great.
Little shaking, tenderizing.
What were the
other
movies?
Down you go. Well, so far.
Well, Die Hard, we have one.
So far, we've got Die Hard.
Right.
So far, we've got Animal House.
Animal House, Jaws.
We've got Jaws. We'll do, let's see, we need two more. I'm going to do five a week. Right. Every week, I'm going to list five films that you must watch in order to be a good American. It's completely inexplicable and intolerable that these films not be seen by anybody. Scott?
Oh, I'm going through. The list is huge.
Tombstone, for Kyle only.
I have seen that.
Okay, you have
and
seen
I
Tombstone.
And I enjoy that movie.
I disagree 100%.
Oh, yeah, I know, but we're not going to revisit
no,
that
we're
again.
Not. No, we're not. You brought it up.
Because you're wrong. Because
okay.
You're just wrong about
Val
it.
Val Kilmer, Doc Holliday.
We're not going to...
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
There's
Dirty
mine.
Harry, for Kyle. I'd say if you're a man... Because there's two different lists. There's
yeah.
two... There's the list
well,
if you're a guy.
I don't think that's true.
And then there's a list no matter who you are.
Okay, all right, no matter who you are, I'll give you that.
You know, because like Animal House should be seen equally by by Kyle and Sarah. Because without Animal House, there's no Van Wilder. There's no Old School.
Well, you know I've seen Animal House
there's
a billion
no
times.
There's no Saving Silverman, Kyle.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes,
your life would be incomplete.
There you
it's
go.
It's a modern-day masterwork. Your Citizen Kane that is Saving Silverman would not exist without.
A great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Whatever you say. All right.
And, you know, I think number five should be the Blues Brothers.
The Blues Brothers, absolutely. Kyle? Have you seen it?
Oh.
No. No.
Sarah?
It's a musical.
I saw the beginning of it when he gets out of jail and walks to his car.
And then he fell asleep?
Yeah.
It's a musical. You of all, it is, it's, how could you not have?
Should I reopen my video loaning device?
No, because, did Kyle even watch all the videos you lent him last time?
I did.
No. He did, actually, yeah.
What was it, like, Taxi Cab? Or Taxi Driver.
Taxi Driver.
Yes.
That was gripping, a good movie.
A gripping right. film starring Judd Hirsch and Tony Danza.
All right, I will bring Blues Brothers and Kyle. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Now, you need to be especially careful with this copy of The Good, Bad, and the Ugly. It's a special two-disc set remastered. It's fantastic.
All right.
I'll bring it for you next week.
Well, let me get a few of these, and then we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll do Making a Scene. We'll do the top five. And then we'll talk about Saints and... Whoa.
Did you pick somebody up?
Yeah, we'll do Saints and Soldiers. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Steve.
Hey, Steve. How can I help you today?
Hey, Boondock Saints.
Now, Sarah, I know, is a big fan of the Boondock Saints, which I have not seen.
You have to see it.
It's a very good film, but I wouldn't say... In order to be a good American, it's a film you must see.
It's Willem Dafoe, isn't it, right?
It's not up there with the Die Hard and the Jaws.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Okay.
Totally it is. It's a classic, man.
Here's the extent of what I know about Boondock Saints. All I know about Boondock Saints, which, to be fair, I hear is a pretty decent film. Rhino Ron Jeremy's in it, and it's a cult film that really found its audience. All right. Yeah. Can you do the double? All right. Thank you.
Wow.
So... All I know about it is what I saw in that movie Overnight, which is one of the most amazing documentaries I've ever seen, which is a documentary about the guy who made that film.
What's it called?
It's called Overnight, and it's a documentary about the guy who made Boondock Saints.
Oh, wow.
Who is a terrible, horrible, awful person. And it's not a reflection on the film at all, because the film itself actually, I guess, ended up being pretty good. But Overnight is one of the most amazing documentaries I've ever seen. And it is about that guy and the implosion of his career in Hollywood. It is about how that guy's career completely and totally bit the dust because he was just such an intolerable, a horrible a-hole. Wow. So there's that. Are we
good?
All right. Let's talk to Bobby. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, the Warriors.
Warriors come out to play,
right.
Completely.
Yeah.
Warriors was one of the original sort of urban warfare films before Assault on Precinct 13, I think. Certainly before, like, Judgment Night and all those latter-day films like
76,
that.
76, 79,
and I think really the first modern-day gang film. I mean, way before any of the gang films of today. I think it was the first post, like, Marlon Brando-era gang film. So Warriors, there's a great Warriors poster, by the way, on sale at CD Game Exchange, 5 locations.
It's a great poster. That image is fantastic.
Yeah, that's the Warriors. It's a legendary film. That's Bobby. We'll do a couple more, then we'll break. We'll come back with Making a Scene. Sean, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Oh, hey, I was actually calling. You just talked about Boondock Saints.
Yeah.
Okay, I've heard tons about this movie, and I had friends that told me it was a great movie, and everybody seems to love this movie, and I watched it, and I want to know, why do people love this movie?
You'll have to ask. Now, I have not seen it, so...
It's an okay. It's a good film. It's not great. I don't under. Wow, we're in a weird echo.
We're doing
over
that
here.
Weird thing again.
I've had a lot of. My cousin actually recommended it to me because she knew I was a big Tarantino fan. She thought I might like it.
Hey, but Tarantino.
I did, but it's not even comparable to Tarantino. Don't get that impression because that's not the case at all. It's a decent film. It's not great.
All right, there you go. That's Sean. Rick. Please, for God's sake, in the name of all that is holy on this miserable planet, tell me that Kyle has seen Blazing Saddles.
Oh, Kyle? I have it at my house.
Oh, but you've never watched
it. I've never watched it, but I do have it.
Why do you have it if you've never watched
it? Well, actually, my roommate has it.
Kyle, to give you an idea of how great Blazing Saddles is, when I was a kid, I was forbidden to watch rated R movies. That was the one movie my dad made me sit down and watch.
Yeah.
All the way through that one and Blues Brothers.
You see what you can do this weekend. That's like when you ask your mom if you can.
I'm pretty busy.
That's an hour and a half.
That's like when you ask your mom if you can do something. She says, "I'll think about it," which of course means no. That's what that is. Let's see. Let's talk to Ray on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Well, Rick.
Sir.
Mein Führer, I can walk. Dr. Strange.
Dr. Strangelove.
How can you miss that? You can't be an American without Dr. Strangelove.
I totally agree. That is one of the funniest movies ever made.
Dr. Strangelove, which might be a little dated, but it does have a lot of that. It does have a lot of that stuff where I think if you didn't grow up in the Cold War, you might not grasp some of the humor there. It is a very Cold War-esque film.
I think one of the best things are the unspoken lines by George C. Scott. His facial expressions in that film are just top-notch.
Well, who is it? Was it Strange? Who is it that's convinced that they're trying to steal our essence?
It's
Mark Mandrake.
Yeah.
All right.
So funny and slim Pickens. Oh, my gosh.
All right, we'll do
J. Earl Jones is in it, too.
We'll do two more here, and then we'll take a break. We'll talk about with Scott Daly from FilmFever.org about movies you must have seen or owned to be a good American. Tim, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
What about The Jerk?
The Jerk, sure. Absolutely.
That movie warped my sense of humor for the rest of my life.
The Jerk, which along with
Such
Airplane,
a funny movie. Oh,
The
God.
Jerk along with Airplane created a whole, at least brought to the forefront, a whole style of American comedy. All of the absurdist comedy of today.
Yep.
South Park.
Everybody in our age group has a totally warped sense of humor.
Absolutely. South Park, all those Farrelly Brothers films.
And all go back to The Jerk.
They all go back to two things. I mean, like, you look at the South Park guys, it all goes back to two things. It goes back to Steve Martin and The Jerk, and it goes back to Monty Python, which is obviously where the South Park guys get the rest of their humor. The Jerk, though, from the opening, you know, it's a sad story, one you've heard before. I was raised a poor black child. That all the way to
all I need is this ashtray and this lamp and this paddle game.
He hates these cans. Stay away from the cans. So, yeah.
I love the joke.
Tim, I'm with you.
That's
on that.
A great film.
All right, there you go. Finally, here we'll Cecil. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Yeah, the ultimate cameo movie. It's a mad world. All those comedians coming together, cameos by Jerry Lewis, it's just insane.
Yeah, that's a pretty funny film.
Yeah, Buster Keaton, I think, is in that. Not Buster, Keaton, Buddy Hackett.
Buddy Hackett. Yeah.
So, no, that's absolutely true.
That's a good film. That's fine.
And Ethel Merman is the mother-in-law. I mean, wouldn't you hate to have someone with a voice like that?
Ethel Merman really is kind of the ultimate mother-in-law. You're right. All right, there you go. That's Cecil. We'll take a break here. We'll come back. It's 503-535-9100 or 1-877-535-9100. Okay, we've got the Easter Brunch Buffet in the Heritage Ballroom at the Governor Hotel. Easter Brunch for four to $75 value, courtesy of Jake's Catering. We will take calls right now if we got them for making a scene. If you are able to recreate all or part of a scene from a film at 503-535-9100. 503-535-9100. If you get on the air and you're able to do it, you'll get the Easter brunch for four, courtesy of Jake's Catering. It's 503-535-9100. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show.